Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome back to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. Joining us today, as always, certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout.
Everyone's so rowdy today in the studio. All this joking and laughing. Is it the weather? What is it? It's crazy gorgeous out there. Driving in today, the breeze, obviously Thursday.
Yes.
August 8th, if you happen to be listening to the broadcast, the rebroadcast, rather, on Saturday at 9, it may not. But for right now, we'll take it. 78, breezy.
Feeling breezy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great to be here, and we have Shay with us, just like the old days. Heidi is not joining us today. She's on vacation.
Mm.
Welcome, Shay Pataj.
Hello.
Our CXO, Chief Experience Officer, in charge of everything that goes out of Prout Financial Design, including the most recent class.
Yes, I'm so excited. So August 29th, we're having a class about the new proposed SECURE Act. And if you would like to attend that class, you just call our office. There's no charge. You do have to reserve your seat because we have limited seating. So we have it going on August 29th in the evening or September 24th in the evening. And Dennis and Heidi will be teaching this class to talk about the, if this passes, it'll be the elimination of the stretch IRA.
It's called the SECURE Act. Not so secure for those with larger IRAs. That means anyone with IRAs generally $500,000 or over, and or those with IRAs where they have named trusts as beneficiaries. Key. Now, the times for those, Shay, and location, if you would.
Yep, Cambria Suites. So 6 o'clock, between 6 and 6:30 arrive. The teaching will start at 6:30 and go till 7:30. And then after that, we'll have a little Q&A.
Q&A, at least half hour. We've also asked a local estate planning attorney to show. And she's already agreed to that for any questions where we get in perhaps a bit too deep. Too deep, eh? And we already have. We announced this last week. We haven't even sent out any advertisements for it. We're already over half full. So there is limited seating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
September what?
So it's August 29th and September 24th.
And that is respective days. What are those days? Is that Thursday and a Tuesday. All right. Thursday and Tuesday.
And this, we've talked about this. This affects your beneficiaries more than you.
Yes.
So it could be a tax hike for them if they have to withdraw from that account within 10 years instead of stretching it over a lifetime.
If it does pass.
If it does
pass. It will be a huge tax increase for them. And something you'll want to know and be aware of. And I was talking with Ed Slott himself yesterday, and he said, if this does pass, he said Congress has a lot going on in the fall. If it does pass and or is voted on, obviously that would have to be first, he said that this is going to be going to render all the trusts as they relate to control of IRAs, and it's going to render them not meaningless, but they'll all have to be rewritten, every last one.
Attorneys,
yes.
Some attorneys will like that.
Yes. And those who don't plan for that, their children will be very sad indeed.
What if you're in the process at that stage of life now where you're thinking about establishing a trust for these purposes? Could you or would it be wise to hold off? Or maybe it'd be wise just to go to your seminar and figure that out.
I would never say both. I wouldn't say it's ever wise to hold off. That's not a good blanket statement to make, Ron.
Yep.
I would definitely consult with your attorney in regards to this because they're already getting the wind of this,
okay.
Number one. Number two, definitely attend the class if this will impact you and you've named a trust as primary or contingent beneficiary of these accounts to try to control how those assets are doled out to spouse and or children over time. This will make a significant difference. And again, it may not pass in the fall, and it may be a surprise pass at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That could be possible too, similar to the old QCD where they would wait until the end of each year almost and then renew it for that year.
Well, it already passed in the House 417-3.
Yes.
So that's why there's some level of urgency around this.
Yeah. And never have I seen Ed Slott put together a whole program around something that could possibly pass. He has always said in the past, well, that's pending legislation. We'll deal with it when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because the likelihood is so strong, either now or in the future, you want to arm yourself. Because, in essence, it's the end of the stretch IRA. It's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it happens this fall or sometime even in next year, you'll want to know. And I think you'll take home some great information from the class, all those in attendance. So we encourage those, if you do want to call our office, 231-947-3992. Melissa can take your information and or whomever else and get you signed up.
Well, this class leads into our topic today. So the email blast that I wrote, which, by the way, I write one every week. And if you sign up online for that, I write email blasts. I let you know what's going on locally for events. For example, tonight's the big band at the Pavilion. So we'll be there. We're sponsoring that.
The Chris Bickley Big Band. Those guys. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
If you've never seen a big band or your kids, it blows them away because you're used to like four guys making a lot of noise with speakers. And here you've got 16 or 18 people blowing it out with real instruments.
And they are really good.
They make a big
noise.
Some
of the best in the Midwest, period.
Best in the Midwest.
Yep.
So anyway, today I wrote about the low-hanging fruit. So we talked about last week, I read the stat about the national debt being over $22 trillion. And everyone just goes, uh-huh. Mm. Like, how do you measure that?
Not my bill.
Exactly. So then I reached out to one of our resources for numbers, and I said, what are the retirement assets right now in the United States? Do you have a stat on that for me?
Close
because
to 22
trillion,
right?
Because I think it's pretty
right?
close. Yeah. What's your guess, Ron?
I'll say 19 trillion. No, I'll go 20.
20?
Yeah.
Over 29 trillion.
Okay.
So, you know, everyone gets a little bit discouraged when they hear that. And then you hear about the SECURE Act. And then we're all talking at the office. What can people do? And then you get kind of sad. Well, it's hard to stay positive.
Wasn't there a move on for a while, Congressman George Miller, California, to take...
I knew you would remember his name.
To take America's retirement savings and pay off the national debt.
Oh, they would never do that, Ron.
But then, and then just say, now we're even, and now we'll just start funding your retirement with somebody else's money.
Well, with a government IOU,
yeah.
And so you can be more secure in your retirement. Speaking of the SECURE Act,
In
that same conversation with Ed yesterday, he said, you know, frankly, he said most of them probably never even read it. They looked at the title and said, well, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Someone in the marketing department did a great job calling it secure.
Yes.
Secure is a good thing. Put me down for a yes.
Put me down for a yes. I like security. For sure.
Yes.
There was like probably two boxes, yes and yes.
I'm pro security. How do you get a press release out on that?
Yes.
I knew you. I was trying to remember that guy's name this week.
I think
Ron Jolly talked about this a year ago. The same topic came up.
So $29 trillion in savings, right, you said?
Assets, retirement assets.
Retirement assets, trillion IRAs, retirement accounts, debt. All the rest, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is. And growing.
Yeah.
And people are adding to those accounts. We just installed a 401k plan yesterday for a group here in Traverse City, and it was just fun standing in front of the, I don't know, 8-10 and just talking to them about the importance of saving. And the key component of your own financial success is not the return. It's not necessarily longevity of that. Those all do contribute, but it's you adding to these accounts. you adding to these accounts in spite of what the economy might be doing. So at the same time, keeping an eye on what's happening with the economy, and if you can, continue saving in these kinds of tax-deferred accounts. Because the principle of dollar-cost averaging is, as you continue to invest with the market coming down, your returns improve if you stay invested and continue investing through the cycle, through the ups as well. So to the extent that you can add money to these accounts in times of difficulty, that's huge for your rate of return. And obviously then for your freedom in the future.
Okay, but how do you stay positive? You are naturally, I've worked with you for like 13 years now, you are naturally an optimist, which I think is fantastic, and I want to be Thank more you. Like you. I tend to be somewhere in the, a little lower, maybe like the realist. I wouldn't say I'm a pessimist. But how do you stay positive with investing when we watch what happened on Monday? It's very difficult, Dennis.
It can be. And you make a great point in that it's very negative out there. And it's not as though I don't read and see that information. I have been incredibly blessed in my life. I think about, why do I do that? I'm sorry. I am going to apologize this in front of me. My parents were incredible parents. I grew up in an amazing household. We farmed down in the Mount Pleasant area. Mom and Dad were great parents. They encouraged, and I was the youngest, surprise. They encouraged me to do what I wanted to do. So even I was into music, big. I mean, I sang in every group that I could. Wow. And I was encouraged to do that, and I loved it. And my teachers were amazing people.
A lot of people don't know Dennis was the lead singer on Louie Louie. No, I said
back when his voice was a bit higher. But I don't know. I just think about the positives that I had growing up, and they were significant. So I don't know if that's why I'm positive. I'm not sure, but I love life. I love people, and I love doing what I'm doing. I am blessed to be doing this. This is a career that, seriously, we get talking about the tax stuff in the office, and I just get Twitter-pated. It's like, oh my gosh, Shelley and I were going back and forth on the tax stuff, and it just like energizes, ping. So it's a huge career. And speaking of that, for those who are younger, I'm starting to talk to these younger folks today, and they're saying to me, you know, people are bringing their grandchildren, well, what should we tell them? Well, first of all, tell them in the financial field, it's very different now. You are much more an advisor. And most financial advisors, the average median age, 60. Here. So given that's the case, what a huge opportunity for those who want to advise people on a long-term basis, who love numbers, enjoy relationships, all those kinds of things. It may be a career you want to investigate.
Yeah.
Because the opportunities are going to be significant for those who would advise people. It's because of the shift in responsibility. It's incredible. You know, Ron, I'm looking straight at you. You and I, we go back and forth on this whole retirement gig. You get it. The responsibility shift to you to figure out your own retirement. It's like, if it's going to be, it's up to me.
My brother, who worked at GM all his life, said, well, what kind of pension do you have? What are you, a comedian?
Exactly.
I was going to say.
What is that pension? All about?
What are you, from the 1950s?
Yes.
No, I don't have a pension. We have to sock the money away, Jack.
But my point in you being an optimist.
Sorry, I went down that rabbit
You did.
Trail
That's okay. Time. My point is that when you look at numbers, you don't get discouraged. You get excited because you are able to see possibilities and potential. Yeah. And I think that for the average person, that is the feeling is more that I'm going to quit saving. I'm going to put money just in my savings. I'm going, you know, you tend not to look at possibilities and like fear drives you.
Yeah.
So how do you, when you face all the reality out there, be honest about what's in front of you, but then also stay positive about the possibilities?
That's a great question. And it sounds a bit simplistic perhaps, but feel the fear and do it anyway. What's the worst that can happen? How am I going to get through this? Here's what it looks like. Okay. I've survived this before. I have the luxury of seeing people get through that and get to retirement. and say again and again, I didn't listen to all the naysayers. I went the other way. So whenever the crowd is going one way, as they say, try to go the opposite with at least part of it. Try to go the opposite way that the crowd is going.
And when they zig, you zag.
Almost always you're going to be better served. So if everyone's negative out there, okay, what are they negative about? It could be an issue. How do I deal with that? How do I address that in my own portfolio, perhaps? Diversification has never been more important. I think I say that just about every week, but it really hasn't been. Because the variety of assets that you might own might really take you by surprise. In reviewing these accounts for clients, where we sit down and we look at the different parts of the portfolio, look at the values, the returns, all that, and then we point to the top five performing assets in the accounts through our Orion statement, which is frankly one of the best on the planet. Thank you. We can show them what are the five best performing assets in your portfolio, and I pointed to this one many times. I'm not going to mention it. That totally surprised me this year. That's the impact of diversification. Having actively managed portfolios where they're diversified, where your returns aren't coming from just one source. And so in spite of the storm sometimes, you're prepared for it. You know, we recognize what winter is like in Traverse City, and if we're going to take a trip, we might pack an extra pair of boots perhaps. And not because we're thinking a storm is around the corner, it's just that if I get stuck, I might need those. Same thing with a portfolio. Try to view the next 3 to 5 years in terms of what am I going to do in this next three to five years? How do I anticipate my health, my own risk tolerance? Where am I with risk? And can I withstand the negativity? Because just when we thought the market was going to continue to go down yesterday, it boom, right back up. So most of us who are prognosticators are usually wrong. Yes, thank you. Let's take a break, shall we?
May I add one thing?
Yes.
Because what you said is important. Your parents told you you could do what you wanted to do. They encouraged you.
They did. They came to my concerts. You know, and it was really out of left field for them. they weren't that kind of organized music, if you will. I remember my father being absolutely beside himself. I was in a barbershop quartet, and there was a the whole thing was choreographed. Dad was just spinning afterward because that was the most fun. You know, I never forget those kind of things.
Jerry Lininger, the great astronaut,
yes,
spoke to him on the anniversary of the moon landing. And he said, when he saw the moon landing, he said to his dad, I want to be an astronaut. And his dad said, just like yours, son, in this country, if you work hard enough, if you study hard enough, you can be anything you want to be. And that's just a positive message that we don't hear enough of today.
To my spine. We don't often understand that as parents, and I caught myself there. The power we have over our children, incredible.
We're going to talk about Social Security scam calls, okay?
Yes. And so what's happening with those, sadly, people are being convinced on the phone to give their personal information. So we do need to discuss that. Don't do that. Whether they say they're the IRS or Social Security or whatever, do not call you on the phone.
No.
They will not call you on the phone.
And do not trust your caller ID because they're mimicking numbers.
Wow.
Yep. So you don't trust your caller ID.
They do email scams, something like that, too.
Yes.
To get passwords and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they can look exactly like the institution you're currently working with, including the bank. So be aware of any of that, where they're asking you for personal information. Don't give it out.
Don't give it out.
The best thing you can do is just hang up.
Yeah.
You can go to identitytheft.gov, and they will... You can look at all of the things there to help protect you, like freezing... If you gave your Social Security number, you can freeze it.
Freeze
your credit. So do things like that. So it's identitytheft.gov, G-O-V.
And if you find yourself getting caught, call your financial advisor and a relative, perhaps, immediately. Tell them what you've done and get things shut down as quickly as you can, especially your credit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. AARP Fraud Watch offers a free helpline for those worried about phone scams as well. So you can reach out to them and be aware. And if you have a parent that you're watching out for, tell them just to hang up. If you're unsure, just hang up.
Never. Don't ever give out your social security number. It's a pretty good rule of thumb.
It is.
Yeah.
Exceptional. Excellent. You bet. Thanks, Shay and Ron. So the mounting federal debt, the biggest story in Washington, it is a debt, as some would refer to, nightmare. The current federal debt, as Shay mentioned, is $22 trillion. The obligations to baby boomers, significantly greater than that, including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, is $60 trillion. Some would call that off-budget debt. But however you count it, it's about $80 trillion total in current and future obligations. Current and future obligations by our federal government.
I see.
To satisfy it, and especially look at the health care issue or situation. Yeah. Medicare and Medicaid, significant expenses for that, obviously. Given that's the case, prepare yourself for what could happen. Those willing to buy U.S. debt, they may say at some point no more. And if that's the case, then that would mean then that our interest rates would have to continue to go up as the demand tends to come down. And given that rising interest rate environment, it's an increasing tax. And then our federal government could make adjustments otherwise, too, including rising taxes. Now, the current tax law goes away in 2025, six. This is not 18. So 6 years away, tax cuts expire. The highest marginal tax rate right now is 37%. Keep in mind, in the 50s and the 60s, it was as high as greater than 90%.
And there's a lot of chatter on the left side of the political scale now for 70%.
Yeah. It's our warning, if you will. Given how free, if you will, that conversation is, you almost have to be certain that it's going to have some influence on the other members of Congress to raise taxes in the future. Excuse me. Given that the bottom 3% of returns filed pay greater than 52% of all taxes, where is the tax increase going to come from? It's going to come from upper middle and upper class individuals.
I think when the stats they bring in, the top 1% pay 20% of the tax revenue, I think. I can look it up, but the point is the top earners pay most of the tax burden.
Yes.
The top 50%, if you're in there, I think your earnings are maybe $120,000 a year per household.
Those with adjusted gross income of over $250,000 paid 52% of all income taxes. It's less than 3% of all returns filed.
Would that be a household?
A household and or individual if they're filing as an individual.
Yeah, so.
So it generally would be considered a household, yes, from that perspective. Large IRA balances, when you're thinking of those, in the end, how much of that is going to be yours if we see an increasing tax as well?
Wow.
Am I saying not to save in these instruments? No. Just be aware of what that impending tax could do to those accounts. And the real net of a $1 million IRA may indeed be $500,000 after tax, if those tax rates continue to rise. And if you have income from other sources. So to keep that in mind, that rising tax will pay, the toll will be paid from those who are, unfortunately, who are better savers. They will, in essence, have to pay the higher tax. Unless the Roth, you have a Roth IRA under current law, and or, if you're taking required minimum distributions and you're able to stretch that out, thinking in terms of then the beneficiary changes that you may want to make to help them avoid this rising tax environment. Given that taxes most likely will increase, how do you deal with this? That's going to be the storm on the horizon, if you will.
Revenues to the Treasury are up, even though they cut taxes last time around.
Isn't that an interesting, anomaly, but truth?
Yeah.
Because every investment is made with the cost in mind. So those who are willing to pay the tax are willing to pay it now because the rates are lower. They are, in essence, more willing to pay it. So these decisions in raising taxes can never be made, and they often are, in a vacuum because they have a variable out there that they don't often count. It's people's willingness and or aptitude to move with their feet in a different direction. Adjustments will be made. And so what will happen if they raise taxes to that rate? My gosh, no one's paying that marginal rate. Why? Because no one's making that much income. Why? Because they're sheltering it for the future. They're going to avoid that tax in whatever way they can. And avoidance is the legal side
right.
of tax saving.
Okay? Yeah.
So your appropriate response given our federal government's spending, both now and in the future, is number one, diversification. We've kind of alluded to that. Number two, fixed assets for those who don't like volatility, which we are
fixed
due
assets,
to see.
Like what?
CDs, some case fixed annuities, assets that do not fluctuate with the stock market. Number three, possibly pay down more debt to bolster your own finances. If you're not comfortable with gold and silver as a possible asset, as a hedge against the worst in terms of government debt. Yes, sir.
Question. So if you have a low mortgage, some people have 3.25%, 3.5% maybe. So they're paying that for that money, but they can earn 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8% somewhere else. Is it better to put the money in the interest earning asset or to pay off the house in this case?
Well, paying off the debt adds a significant amount of leverage for you in that you don't have that fixed demand payment every month. Every other saving that you tend to do is optional. Paying the mortgage is not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a significant difference. I tend to set aside the interest rate in terms of a rate of return. It's the obligation that you have. That's the real issue. That's that continuing need to pay it.
Feed it.
Mm-hmm. Feed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. And generally go in the opposite direction of the crowd, which we referenced, incredibly important. Now, next is the saving for education. All of a sudden, we have education needs, spending for tuition, books, fees, all the rest. Where should we take it? Well, it may come from an IRA, penalty-free. IRA is the only penalty-free instrument you have to draw for education of the retirement accounts out there. So the IRA affords, if it's for an eligible institution.
A Roth IRA?
An IRA or a Roth IRA.
Oh, okay. I thought just Roths did that.
Avoid the 10% penalty.
Oh, I didn't know it was both.
For post-secondary education expenses. Now, the taxes are still paid on the IRA, but the 10% penalty is waived. So keep in mind that the taxes still apply. So that's what's interesting is the average cost, 2017-2018 school year, was $34,740 at private colleges. $34,000, almost $35,000.
Wow.
Almost $10,000 for state residents at public colleges and $25,620 for out-of-state residents attending public universities. Room and board could add an additional $10,000 or more. And, of course, then there's computers and supplies and all the rest.
When you realize what kind of car you could get for that.
Ron, you think like me. This is great.
Nice. The new Corvettes, 60 yeah. grand. I mean, Ron, what are we thinking,
2 years
right?
of college, new Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom, zoom.
So this penalty avoidance does not apply to workplace retirement plans like 401ks, 403bs.
Okay.
So it just, again, there's no dollar limit on the penalty-free withdrawal for qualified higher education expenses. It's just that you have to be aware that it's taxable in the year that you take it.
Hmm.
So that Roth IRA may be a great vehicle to use for these kinds of things because it avoids the tax.
So that would be income? That could possibly affect your income tax?
Income taxes, absolutely.
What rate you pay.
Yes. The other plan to think about is the 529 plan.
Ah, yes.
Keep in mind that those are tax-free as long as used for tuition, books, fees related to that post-secondary education as well. Those assets within grow tax-deferred. Now, the required disclosure is this. As with other investments, there are generally fees and expenses associated with participation in a 529 plan. Investments in 529s involve investment risks, as well as for Roth IRAs. I'll add that part. You should consider your financial needs, goals, and risk tolerance prior to investing. The official disclosure statement and applicable prospectus, which contain this and other information about the investment options and underlying investments, can be obtained by contacting your financial professional. You should read these materials carefully before investing. Did you read it carefully, Shay?
Or before you go to bed. I'm going to start a podcast, and all I do is I read everybody's disclosures. I'm going to grab, you know, any book and just start reading disclosures.
God, how about bedtime
and
reading,
it'll be
right?
Like,
right.
Yep. Night-night. Lights out.
So remember, the 10% penalty exception does not apply to the tax. Again, the tax is the significant thing, and that's why the 529 plan may be the better place to draw from. Take a look at the whole field of assets, if you will, in terms of using that. For college tuition for children and possibly grandchildren as well.
Mm-hmm. Or nieces.
To save for that eventuality. We have a lot of grandparents saving in 529 plans.
And aunts.
And aunts and uncles. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
That can be significant in terms of help.
Well, the 529's gotten much more inclusive with other. It used to be just for college, then it's trade schools, and I think even now for private. Schools
yep.
for
post-secondary
yep.
event.
Do
pretty
those
cool.
accounts draw at a comparable rate to like some of the IRA?
They can,
funds?
Depending on how you've decided to invest.
So
them.
you decide.
What's interesting is they can be, if in essence, time stamped so that they are more aggressive the further away the child is from needing those funds, and they automatically rebalance to get more conservative as the account nears its completion and then need or withdrawal. Now, what's interesting is it doesn't have to be at age 18 or 25. Many of these can go to age 45.
Hmm.
So even if a child is looking for their master's, they can use it for that as well.
Cool.
Fun stuff.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.